is Davin's Den.
Is Davin's Den.
We are back, and Joe is joining us from Chopper 4. How are you, Joe?
Yes. I feel like a submarine captain out here. All the roads are flooded.
Oh, no. Where are you right now?
I am on 95 up in Yonkers.
Ugh.
It's not that far away.
No, but that's what a terrible ride you must have been having.
Yeah, it was stuck because they closed the hutch. It was closed, so they diverted everybody onto 95. And it would have been another 40 minutes to get to the Tappan Zee from where I was.
Oh, forget that.
The traffic up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was. So it just paid. Yeah, I don't want to just get up there at 8:30 and join the show. I figured I'd call from the car and I could start the show, you know, at 7:30.
Listen, for you, we would go till 11 o'clock. For you.
Yeah, but for me, I got to drive back home.
Yeah.
Such problems you have. They don't let you out early anymore. I need to talk to your boss. At the day program.
Okay, have a talk with you. Yeah, because we had a person out between 4 and 5. They were on vacation at the day program, and I had to fill in that spot. I couldn't leave.
Yeah, I think I need to set up a powwow, a little Skype with your day program, and let them know that they're taking away from our show by their escapades, and they need to be a little bit more compliant to our needs and our fans' needs. I will set that up.
Right, I'm sure Glenn will take care of that right away.
I'm fairly confident he will. I feel very good about things.
I don't understand why you're laughing.
Deadly serious. You know who else didn't understand why they were laughing? The president today.
Oh.
He was giving like a speech at the... Did you see this, Joe? Probably not. You were doing a day program.
I heard the audio.
Yeah, so he's like... I had it on the background while I was doing stuff. He's giving a speech at the United Nations, and as the president is wont to do... he blew his own horn a little bit. He's like, you know, we've never had such, you know, never such an economy. Our military soon is going to be stronger than it's ever been. That type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I guess the people, the way he was doing, like, the stereotypical Trump way with, like, the superlatives, the people at the United Nations start laughing at him. But I did like how the president handled it. Kind of cocked his head to the side. Go, well, I wasn't really expecting a laugh there, but okay.
Yeah. You got to admit it didn't throw him.
No,
no.
I thought since 2015, that's in his top five of likable moments. That right there. I'm like, oh, he did that well.
I know. I actually thought that was pretty funny that he pivoted really well.
Yeah, he's thinking these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Fuck them. Going to build a wall. None of these people are going to be allowed in here anymore. Get out of New York. But he's like, okay, that's the way you're going to be. Going to go right along, and then I'm going to talk shit about Iran
and Germany.
You got to give him that. I mean.
I got bored with it after a while, but I did happen to catch that, and I thought, very well done, Mr. President. I mean, I don't really like that they're laughing at us, but, you know, if they're going to laugh at us, that's the best way to handle it.
At one point,
it's almost,
go ahead, Joe.
It's almost like when you do a joke. It's almost like when you do a joke and it drops, and it's like one of your top bits, you know, and you go, there's an applaud break there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or when you're doing it, like you're talking about like something serious to get to the setup, and they start laughing there, like I'll talk about like pedophiles.
Yeah.
And somebody will laugh at that point, and I'll have to go, well, that's not really the joke. you call the moment.
It's like you're pulling the drama out of the setup. You're not supposed to laugh there, stupid.
Exactly. That's kind of what the president did. He kind of called the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. That. Yeah. Yeah.
Good for the president.
There was actually another funny... If you had the visual, there was another funny moment because he was talking a little bit of smack about how Germany was handling some things, and they turned to the German team, and they're all sitting there with smirks on their faces, like looking at each other.
Would have been funny if they had caught him doing an eye roll.
It was just...
It's like, you know, when presidents, you know, past presidents, and I don't give a damn what side of the aisle those guys were on, Republican or Democrat, when he would go up in front of the UN, he would just powder everybody's ass, and Trump goes up there, starts scolding everybody.
Yeah, but this wasn't the scolding portion. I don't recall a president getting laughed at when he wasn't going for a choke. So I don't think that was optimal. I just think he happened to handle that well.
Yeah.
it's like
ideally, I don't think he wanted people laughing there. I mean, as Americans, we kind of know that's his thing. But when the whole world kind of laughs, I go, huh, that's not good. But he handled it very well. It was either that or go, fuck you, people.
Really?
Those were the options. And I would have been almost fine with that, too.
He just had it in his voice. Well, fuck you then. You ain't gonna be laughing later.
this is the nice part, people. Yeah, I've read the speech. You know what's coming in 15 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you won't be laughing.
It's kind of like me with my echo. This is the easy part, people. I know the shit I got written. I kind of vibed with Trump in that moment.
Yeah. Well,
and
you...
I felt very dirty and took a rape shower immediately.
But you know, he laughed with them, sort of,
yes,
at that moment.
Yes.
But you would scold them. You would attack them.
Well, then the president scolded them and attacked them.
He did.
But when he
later
scolds and attacks them, he can really do shit.
I know.
Yeah. When I was at my last job, when my friend Lenore and I went up to a meeting with the president of the company, and we sit down, and he tells us a joke, and we laughed, and he goes, "Glad you laughed at that joke." He goes, "From now on, there's no more laughing."
Oh, wow.
Fun time is over.
Decided to lay down the riot act. So yeah.
All right. Well, somebody who's not laughing today is somebody who's brought so much laughter to people over the years, but he's not having a good day. We got a little comics in the news. We'll let you know what's going on after we do this fine bumper.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
Yeah, so America's Dad, or as you might know him, Bill Cosby, got sentenced today. 3 to 10 years in a state prison. He didn't have to go to state prison, but they sent him to state prison, which is the rough one. They could have sent him to county or even home or home arrest. That's what his team wanted.
Yeah.
But they said, nay, nay, you're going to state prison for drugging and sexually assaulting Andrea Constand at his home 14 years ago. Cosby's bail was revoked, and he was escorted from the courthouse in handcuffs. This was a serious crime, O'Neill said. Mr. Cosby, this is all circled back to you. The day has come. The time has come. Cosby, convicted in April of aggravated indecent assault, declined to speak to the court prior to the sentence in Pennsylvania. His attorneys have filed an appeal in the case. He also was ordered to pay a $25,000 fine plus the cost of prosecution as part of the sentence. In addition, O'Neill ruled that Bill Cosby will be classified as a sexually violent predator, a determination that requires lifetime registration, lifetime mandatory sex offender counseling with a treatment provider, and notification to the community that a sexually violent predator lives in the area. It does not impact the length of the actual sentence. Cosby's spokesperson Andrew Wyatt unleashed on the media, judge and prosecutors after the sentence, calling the prosecution the most racist and sexist trial in the history of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
He also said Cosby was doing well because he knows that these are lies. I almost expect President Trump to go, excellent person, known Bill for a long time, good guy. Because that's usually where the president goes on these sexual lies. We haven't heard from him. Joe, will the president be tweeting about this later?
I don't think so.
Oh, I say he will be. I say he will be, Joe. This, you know, around 3 a.m., the mind kind of wanders.
Yeah. He's kind of up to his ass with other things right now.
I understand, but it all kind of ties in. So ahead of the sentencing, Constant wrote a 5-page letter to the court explaining how Cosby's assault and the ensuing legal battle had changed her life. Bill Cosby took my beautiful, healthy young spirit and crushed it. He robbed me of my health and vitality, my open nature, and my trust in myself and others, she wrote, which is common for these type of victims.
Yeah.
Judge O'Neill cited Constand's statement in deciding on the sentence. I have given great weight to the victim impact testimony in this case, and it was powerful, he said. Cosby did not testify at the trial, and has spoken publicly only infrequently since his criminal trial began. But in April, when prosecutors claimed he had a private plane and asked the judge to revoke his bail, Cosby stood up in court and yelled, "He doesn't have a plane, you a-hole!"
Because that's the point.
The car slipped a little bit.
That should be the point that he should be, like, really adamant about.
Cosby got uppity right there.
Yeah,
no. He referred to himself. Listen, I know he's 81 years old, but I think he's done a lot of bad things. I'm glad he's going to jail. Even though I respect him comedically, and I always considered him one of the greats, I'm glad he's going to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, look, it was a whole lot of women, too. I mean, a lot of women.
60.
But you gotta remember, Joe, when these women started coming out since the 70s, they were not believed.
Right.
Because we all said, oh, no, that's Bill Cosby. He makes all these movies and the TV shows and the nice guy from the comedy. Nobody believed these women.
Right.
It was only till fucking Hannibal Buress brought it back into the attention that people kind of looked back at it and go, oh, shit.
It's like, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. I know that was the catalyst for this whole movement against him. I'm glad he's finally getting, you know, what's coming to him.
Well, the women came out in droves. and I'm not saying, I'm not downplaying it, but when they came out in droves.
Yeah, but we've seen other people where they came out, not in this amount. But, I mean, Bill Clinton certainly had a number of accusers.
Yes.
Donald Trump had even more accusers.
Yes.
And, you know, those women were not listened to. We've had those arguments on this show.
Yep.
The only reason this one, because it was still within the statute of limitations, and this was an argument we had last week, but why don't these people come forward? And here's all these women that just didn't come forward, because when you're been taken advantage of to that level, as the woman who would the one who brought this charge,
right.
she lost all her confidence. Mm-hmm. She lost everything. And this happened 14 years ago.
Yeah.
People just sit on it. We had an abuse victim on our show. People just sit on it. And the statute of limitations runs out, and he can't do anything. So I think that kind of helped Bill Clinton. I think that's helped Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But it did not help Bill Cosby.
No, because,
right.
I mean, in some ways, I know that it's frightening for people to consider that if the statute of limitations was done away with, that people are like, oh, my God, you know, people could go back years and years and bring stuff up. But it's like, well, you have nothing to worry about if you don't have those things in your past.
Well, those priests in Pennsylvania,
right.
Well, those pedophile priests,
right.
Most of them are going off scot-free because, well, a lot of them are dead, but the statute of limitations
has gone by, yeah.
Right, so they want to revisit statute of limitations.
Mm-hmm, because then he would have had a lot more counts against
people
him.
People don't come forward.
No, they don't. I mean, it's very rare for, I'm going to talk about women in particular to come forward because there are so many more sexual assaults and rapes committed than are reported because, we see what happens to the women most of the time. They are, you know, everything about their lives comes into play. That people, you know, judge them.
Listen,
they
Cosby's defenders judge these women.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Cosby doesn't have the type of defenders. The defenders aren't as invested as we see in the political process when
right.
women come forward on either side, left, right, with accusations. Because
mm-hmm.
then you get then you get their party sticking up for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everybody plays teams.
Yeah, everybody's a slut, a gold digger.
Right, I mean.
Their reputation is ripped to shreds.
And you're seeing it now with the Kavanaugh Blasey Ford thing.
Yes.
Now, last week it started out well.
Yeah.
Where everybody, she should be heard, and now everybody's picking their teams. Where you have the Democrats saying that this guy's a rapist and he's guilty.
Yeah.
And you got the Republicans saying, no, I don't care. Pretty much, I don't care what she says. We're going to vote him through.
Yeah.
Everybody's picked their teams, which kind of makes Thursday a waste of time.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens on Thursday. And it just turned into such a dog and pony show over this.
Right, but it shouldn't.
And
it shouldn't. Something either did or didn't happen. That's why it should be a fact-finding thing.
That was the thing. And my whole take is that, you know, the woman, you know, said, all right, fine. We'll see you, you know, we'll see you on, Monday. And then it turned into, a dog and pony show over this.
Well, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you really wanted an honest hearing, you wouldn't want to go in front of 11 people that have already made their mind up against you. That's the problem with it. You can't really – that's why you need the police or the FBI to do an investigation because their mission is to find the truth. They shouldn't have a dog – they shouldn't have an interest in who's right or wrong. They just want to find the truth. But once you leave it up to the Democrats or the Republicans, you're not getting the truth.
No.
You're getting what they want it to be,
right.
Whether Kavanaugh did it for the Democrats or he didn't do it for the Republicans. That's why this whole thing's a charade, which is why you got to look at Blasey Ford and go
–
well, all right, she does want an FBI investigation. Kavanaugh going on Fox News does not impress me. Have the FBI investigation. Then you have this other Ramirez woman comes out. This is the second one.
Yeah.
And she says, and her memory's really foggy.
Yeah, she's not the best
and she says,
reporter.
And she says, he may have, I think it was him, And when
I was drunk, but it was a long time ago.
I was drunk, and we were in college, and he put his dick in my face. Okay, not good behavior. Not good behavior. I don't want to ruin a man's career. A dick in the face is different.
It's very different.
Than holding a person down and putting your hand over the mouth and dry humping. Completely different.
Yeah.
That's just a college. That, I hate to dismiss it. That's a college kid being a dick. So, well,
right, right. You know, and the whole thing about you see, the whole thing about it, and what we were, you know, you and I were debating back and forth is my whole thing is, it just seems that they pulled this out at the last minute. There was that whole email thing that they were bringing up over Kavanaugh, which actually a good thing to consider, a big thing to consider, where we could debate on this, you know, to find out where the truth is. My whole thing is that the Democratic Party figured if we brought that out, then they would bring up the Hillary emails. And this would take forever. We have this woman that says that she is accusing him of this. It's the whole Me Too movement. This could be a possible slam dunk on this.
Well, here's my point to you. Here's my point to you. I was willing to concede that it's possible that the Democrats play dirty because they're looking at what happened with Merrick Garland. They're like, fuck it. These guys will do anything. We'll do anything.
Right.
I'm willing to concede that possibly the Democrats sacrificed this woman who wanted to remain anonymous.
Yeah.
I'm willing to concede that. I don't know, but I'm willing to concede that it's certainly possible that the Democrats leaked it, ruined this woman's life because she didn't want any of this.
No.
That being said, putting aside the shit that the Democrats did, we should – as a society, want to know the truth, want to know if Blasey Ford was done wrong or if Kavanaugh was done wrong.
Right.
That's why that was my point. Let's get the answers. I don't even need a hearing with the senators. I'd be happy with an FBI report and it gets read.
The FBI doesn't investigate that.
Yes, they did. Yes, they do. They did it in Anita Hill. It took 3 days. And at that time, it was bipartisan.
Yeah.
Both sides were calling for it. Yeah. All the president has to do. All Kavanaugh has to do is say, "I'd like an FBI investigation." If you really want,
where does the FBI go?
The same way they always go. They interview people at the party. They interview people who know them, and they come to the best conclusion. You probably won't get a yes or no whether this definitely happened, but you'll get a much clearer picture. And then I'd feel a lot better about things.
And by the time that gets done, it'll be after the midterms. And I think that's the whole the Democrat strategy.
Yeah, but it took 3 days. The Anita Hill thing took 3 days. If you would have done it a week ago, this shit could be done. You actually could be voting on Thursday instead of calling them up there on Thursday and really accomplishing nothing. Theoretically,
I don't know if you could do an investigation. Like, who are you going to go to? You know, I mean,
they know who to go to.
5 years.
They know this guy Judge, who is his buddy, who hung out with him all the time, and has chronicled that he was drunk all the time. They got Kavanaugh's roommate in college, who said that Kavanaugh was always drunk. You have other people at the party who say they knew them. You interview those people. Like I said, are you going to get a definitive answer? You may not. But you'll certainly get a much clearer picture. And that way, no matter what happens, you go, you know what? At least they did what they could do. And now it's time to decide.
I mean, I think that the FBI, with their expertise at telling when people are lying or not, they are a little bit better at profiling people and like judging whether they're getting the truth out of people or not than a whole bunch of Congress people standing there with their own agendas on their minds and reading into every little word and twisting things.
Both sides have their own agenda.
Yeah, they do.
And it's nauseating.
It is.
You see the Democrats go up there. They're already calling this guy guilty. They're calling him a multiple-time rapist, a sexual offender. It's like, dude.
No, wait. Whoa.
They're going too far.
Yeah,
and then you got
far.
Then you got Mitch McConnell go, no, it's going to be slam dunk. We're going to push it through.
No matter what.
Exactly. It's like, whoa, this is not the way it should be done.
Right.
Also, another thing to take into account, on especially with comments coming from the right, they really have to make sure that they are thorough and come to, like, a conclusion of a reasonable doubt what happened, because they could lose the if the Republicans just blast right through this, they could jeopardize the female vote.
That female vote has already left the building.
Hold Me Too thing.
I think the female vote has left the building just the way they've handled this. If they really wanted to do it, they would go, you know what, let's have the FBI investigation, even if they thought it was humoring them.
Right.
Like I said, if it was me, if somebody from my past accused me in high school and I was offered an investigation, whether it be by the local police, the state police, the FBI, and I knew I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I'd go, please, let's do it. You know, I would be like, listen, I'm sorry this woman thinks it was me. this is like again my she clearly feels she was traumatized. I honestly believe it's mistaken identity. I honestly believe it was not me. Let's have the investigation so she can go forward with her life, maybe get some closure, and I can go forward with my life in my career. That's how I would do it. And then people would go,
"Well, we'll see what happens." But I don't think they're gonna wrap it up by the midterms. Plus, I spoke to Vinny, who was an FBI agent, and I've been hearing about it, reading about it, and he said, "No, the FBI doesn't get involved. It's not the FBI's jurisdiction to get involved with it. We don't investigate."
It is once the president asks for it. If the president asks for it, then they will do it. Like I said, they did it at Anita Hill, and then you had Orrin Hatch say, because Joe Biden was running things, and Orrin Hatch said the FBI investigate, which is exactly what they should have done, and now he's saying, oh, no, it's not the FBI's jurisdiction. This is why I can't take any of them seriously.
They're also two-faced.
Biden was two-faced.
So in the same way that Feinstein drug her out of the woodwork because she knew this would fly an be a
flame. No. The woman, Blasey Ford, reached out to Feinstein and a congresswoman. Where there's a real issue to have a beef with Feinstein is, well, why didn't you bring it up when you were talking with Kavanaugh in your office? Why didn't you bring this up at the hearing?
Right.
There was a time to bring this up. Why are you sitting?
And why wasn't that brought up in all of his other appointments? I mean, like I was saying in a go-between the other day, it's not like he was working on a loading dock and suddenly he's Supreme Court justice. You know, I mean,
yeah. But as I explained to you, people get triggered. People get triggered. Why do people come out of the woodwork against Clinton? Why do people come out of the woodwork against Trump? Why do people come out of the woodwork against Cosby? Because they see somebody on TV and it brings it all back to them.
Well, let me just explain to you this way. Sometimes when a woman's been assaulted or physically abused, years ago, and like say that it happens in a family, and then they see that their abuser has access to young children, and they all of a sudden, it might bring back to them the image of what happened to them, and it triggers the memory, and it triggers the need to report, because it's like at that point you're like, well, screw it, this is humiliating, and this is going to hurt me revisiting all this, but I have to save that person.
So, right, but the way it was brought into the forefront, it kind of taints it. The way
you need the FBI to investigate.
Yeah,
I mean, because you're right, because it does seem political, but that's why the FBI should not be a political thing. The FBI should.
It's not like it was discovered. It wasn't discovered during investigation. It's coming out like they're trying to pull a fast one.
Right, but it's also come out that she spoke to her therapist about this in 2012.
She spoke to her husband about it. She's spoken to friends about it.
And now they look at Kavanaugh's yearbook, and he's got all this stuff about drinking and sexual conquest on there. Here's the interesting thing about Cosby and Kavanaugh. I'll bring it back, and then we'll move on from this. Everybody thought Bill Cosby was a great guy.
Yeah.
Nobody could. When that came, people for years could not imagine. They're just trying to bring this black man down.
Yeah.
This black man who's gotten ahead, they're trying to bring him down. Everybody thought Kavanaugh, you hear the president talk about, squeaky guy, know him well, but, this, that, the other thing. And then all of a sudden there's these shadows, and more and more and more comes out. And this is a lifetime appointment. So, listen, if the guy deserves to be up there, then he deserves to be up there. We don't want another Clarence Thomas.
Right.
And if I was Kavanaugh, I wouldn't want to be known as a Clarence Thomas.
Yeah, you don't want that shadow hanging over you the rest of your career.
Yeah. You'd rather be known as an Antonin Scalia, who the right loves, the left might not love, but...
They can respect.
Yeah, he didn't have all these personal things and wrongdoing swarming around him.
Right.
If we can't trust the justices on the Supreme Court, this whole thing comes apart.
Right.
This whole thing that we know is America and our... Because already we don't trust our politicians.
No.
Left, right, don't trust the politicians. Already, with the presidents helping on along, most people don't trust the media.
Right.
So, a lot of people don't trust the police.
Right.
Now, if we can't even trust the Supreme Court, this whole thing comes apart. So it really serves the nation to get it right. And if the guy did nothing wrong, or it seems like she might be mistaken, but it can't be proven that he did anything wrong, then the guy should be on the Supreme Court, and that should be the end of it. And he should just look going forward at his judicial record.
Right.
But if it does seem, and it is possible, this guy did it. And you got to remember, Avenatti, Stormy Daniels' attorney, who I would say has credibility considering what he did with Stormy Daniels. you know, the progress he made with her.
True.
And now people are like, oh, I guess he was right. Because originally the president denied it. Michael Cohen denied it. Everybody denied it. Now, Avenatti on Wednesday, tomorrow night, is going to be bringing forward another woman who claims that this guy Kavanaugh sexually assaulted her.
Whoa.
Now Avenatti had said before that there were going to be other women that would accuse Trump. He said, I have other people that have reached out to me, but he never brought them forward. He was asked about it. He's like, I couldn't prove their stories. I couldn't prove there were some things didn't add up, so I wasn't going to bring them forward. So I think that adds more credibility. So if Avenatti brings another woman forward tomorrow night,
that means he's pretty well vetted that story.
Yeah. And then I really think everybody needs to hit a... It needs to
slow down
because I mean,
it's just, you know, we got to find out how, you know, sketchy the, and like I said, we have to find out. Let's put it this way.
Avenatti said, I was watching last night, this woman has passed two security clearances. She's like a really important woman, and she's not only a victim, she's a witness. That's what he revealed last night. So this is not a porn star he's bringing forward. And Blasey Ford's an accomplished woman too.
Yes,
she's a doctor. She's a professor at Stanford. He's bringing forward another accomplished woman. So we'll see what she has. We'll see if it actually happens. But if he does bring somebody forward who seems accomplished and seems plausible, we got
to slow down.
We can't have this hearing on Thursday. No. It's wrong to the country.
Right.
Well, we'll see. You know, see how. Also, another thing. I didn't see the interview last night, but I heard excerpts of it. And also, Kavanaugh was saying that he was a virgin through college.
Long after, yes.
I'm like, really? So,
in Joe's world, everybody's getting laid.
But
thank you, Joe.
Like I said, when you called me on the carpet last week, but what do you feel? I go, I want to hear the testimony. Ask me when they have it. I can't.
No, but last week, Joe, you were much more dug in that you were not going to believe this woman. This week, we're kind of in line that, like,
it came out like they're pulling a blatantly trying to pull a fast one.
I understand that, but listen, you know, both bases want blood. Once McConnell pulled that Merrick Garland thing, which was bullshit. The Democrats' base are like, well, fuck it, we don't want fair play anymore either. Both bases are all in, and it's not good for the country.
No,
but that's where we are. But I'm looking at it as a citizen who doesn't really have a team. I just want to know the truth. I don't want this guy's life to be ruined for no good reason. But if he did do something, I don't want him. Now it's not even like before. I was like, well, if he did do it as a 17-year-old, should that ruin his life? And I had to deal with that. But now I'm past that. Now this guy has denied and lied so much since then that I'm like, well, if it seems like he did it, then this guy can't be on the Supreme Court.
Right.
Just because he's a liar now.
Yeah.
Not because he might have done something as a 17-year-old. Because I hadn't really decided if I felt like that should really affect his life as an adult, if he'd lived a good life and everything.
Like if he had grown up and realized the error of his ways.
Right.
And you know, it's like, not to make light of what, you know, supposedly happened or what allegedly happened. But if he's, you know, is what you do as a teen the measure of your whole life?
Right. Now, I don't think we have to get there with this guy.
No.
I don't. And at least in my mind. I'm just because of the way he's behaved since then.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, he went on Fox, which is very partisan, which is fine. This is one to do.
Mm-hmm.
But he wouldn't even answer Martha McCollum, who did a good job with the interview from what I saw, why he wouldn't have an FBI investigation. He says, he kept on saying, I just want a fair process, but he would not answer.
He said it like four times.
But he would not answer her why he won't have an FBI investigation. And by all accounts, the FBI is going to be the fairest process you're going to get. You're not going to get it from the Democrats, and you're not going to get it from the Republicans.
No.
So, we'll see. All right. I think that's enough of rape talk.
Rape talk with Davenstead.
Joe, can you make a bumper for rape talk?
Oh, I don't think so. No.
I'm not doing it out of principle. I'm not making a rape talk.
Thank you.
All right. Well, what's the music you usually have when you're raping, Joe? What, can maybe play that?
Oh God.
It's very quiet.
Oh God. Oh God. Billy wants her to calm down. Stop fighting, you wench.
Oh God.
You're ruining my good time.
It's very quiet.
Well, I'll, t- I'll tell you this. I went on Anthony Cumia's show the day after Oz, and we were talking about everything. And Anthony and I came to the fact that we would never be Supreme Court justices.
Oh, no!
You guys had to do another show to come to that determination? I could have done a 30-second call-in.
What, was that on a very special Anthony Cumia show?
Yeah, right.
Yes, because if there's anybody who you want to get to the nuts and bolts of rape with, it's Anthony Cumia.
Oh, God. Oh, dear. You had to say nuts in there,
well,
didn't you?
Well, if Daddy gives permission, it's okay. I believe that's the... isn't that what the statute says?
I don't know. Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, no, we just had... You know, back in the day, we all had our antics when we were in our teenage years.
You guys, your group had the antics, which is what it was and what it is.
Is that what the kids are calling it?
Well, especially him, because his name is
Antics.
Antnix.
But yeah,
that's you know, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that. I'm going to move on, because we had this conversation last week, and I asked you, would you ever do that? And you said you did, and then you called me a goody-goody, because I didn't. So they were CNN was doing this interview. They didn't say it at the time, but it was five women that were Republican operatives. They just called them five Republican voters. Whatever. So so one of the women is like, pretty much, well, you know, what 17-year-old boy hasn't done this? And then Trevor Noah, playing me, kind of raised his hand weakly.
Like, you're not over here.
So I don't think this is everybody. Maybe liberals don't rape.
No, I don't think that's true.
Well, that's not true either. You're right. That's absolutely
not true.
Well, I guess me and Trevor Noah didn't.
I don't think that rapists follow partisan lines.
No, I think you're right. It's not that. Although it would be a hell of a platform to run on. Liberals don't rape. Shh, Bill Clinton.
Shit. Except for that guy.
But, yeah, so it was just kind of surreal watching them have the same thing that you and I had last week.
It was.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to light stuff. School of Fools. School of Fools. Oh, I think I forgot to upload the show, the story. All right. Well, basically the story is this: a woman in Illinois.
Yeah,
Illinois. 28.
Columbus.
Yeah.
Ohio. Columbus, Ohio.
I thought it was. No, I didn't think it was in Ohio.
Wait a minute.
Whatever. Midwest. Yeah. So she's got these three children.
Columbus, Ohio.
She's the school bus driver. These three children, ages 11, 13, and 17.
Yes.
You know, empty bus. Being a role model that she is, she lets the children drive the bus. And someone videoed this and put it up on Twitter, and she lost her job.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you get an 11-year-old to reach the pedals on a bus.
Nor do I.
Yeah, really. Well, yeah, I guess you'd lower the seat and use blocks.
So she was brought up in charges for what, neglect of a minor?
I'm just thinking what the allegations were supposed
that
to be called. Yeah.
I didn't upload the story, unfortunately. But, yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. Oh, well, here's the story. No, it's Northwest Indiana. Here's the story. After she allegedly let three students, 11-13. Yeah. So according to a police statement, Joandra McAfee, 27, let the children drive her bus Thursday as she dropped students off after school in Valparaiso, a small city about 50 miles southeast of Chicago. McAfee of nearby Portage was arrested Friday, and the Portage Township School Administration and the Porter County Sheriff's Office investigated parents' complaint. She's facing charges of neglect of a dependent, a felony, and was fired by Porter Township. The students and the parents that immediately came forward with the information should be commended for doing exactly what we teach, which is see something, say something, Sheriff David Reynolds told the Northwest Indiana.
And that's when you see an 11-year-old driving a school bus. Maybe you want to call.
I think this once again proves that kids can't keep a fucking secret.
No, I mean,
tattletales.
Think about it as an 11-year-old kid. That's a good thing. You're letting them drive the bus. It's cool. It's fun. You don't worry that you could go into traffic and everybody get killed. That's bullshit. Who cares about that? I'm having fun driving the bus.
I don't blame the kids.
No.
No. I mean, if you're a kid, it's a good idea. I blame them for telling.
You blame them for telling.
Absolutely.
little idiots.
Yes. Yeah, you're having this cool moment with your school bus driver. And you get to... I have never driven a bus. I'm 43. I've never driven a bus. I want somebody to teach me how to drive a bus.
Wasn't that like driver's ed?
No, not a bus.
No, but I mean, like, it was driver's ed what she was doing.
You saw how much fun the president had when he was inside the truck at the White House a year ago, and that truck wasn't even moving.
Wah, wah!
He was pretending to be a trucker. And he's an adult, sort of. He's in his
70s. Sort of.
These are 11, 13, and 17-year-olds. They get to drive a bus. That's the best day ever. Stop fucking snitching, you little bitches.
You know what was even better? The day that they were allowed to make their own bonfires in the furnace room, that was awesome.
That would be awesome. I don't know. I don't think this woman should ever be allowed to drive a school bus again.
No!
No! No!
No!
Ever, no.
Bad judgment! Bad! Bad judgment.
So,
What was she thinking?
I think the more appropriate question, Joe, is what was she smoking?
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe the stupidity of some people. It just boggles my mind.
Sure you can. You do a show and you're a comic. You can fully believe it.
Oh, all right. Yeah, understood.
Understood.
I'll walk that back.
You know where you are, don't you?
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody when I was underage ever let me drive. I know it's popular. People like take you to a parking lot or a side street. I don't think anybody ever let me drive until it was time to go for my learner's permit.
Yeah, nor I.
I drove once. My buddy Dave let me drive his Camaro. We was dropping his sister off way up in Connecticut, and we're in his Camaro, and he let me drive the Camaro for about 30 minutes and stuff. And I didn't have a license, I didn't have anything, but it was fun.
How old were you?
17.
Okay.
When did I get my license? 18. It's main 18. I didn't get my license till I was 19. I was so nervous on my road test that I failed the first time. Then literally they put on the thing, poor use of an automatic transmission. That's how nervous I was.
What were you doing?
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Were you grilling hot dogs while you're driving? What?
I was just very, very, very nervous. Very nervous.
What did you do?
I took my road test, another road test about a month later, and I nailed it. You know, I passed it with no problem at all. But I was just so freaking nervous. If I get very nervous, I just am like a clusterfuck.
Never noticed.
I know. But before that too, I used to drive the high-lows at work and stuff like that. I used to move the trucks around the yard. Yeah, I have a license yet, but you know. But still, that day, I was just very, very, very nervous, man. I totally fucked up.
I told you guys about the day I went for my license, right?
I don't recall.
No, I don't think you did.
I already had my Camaro.
Oh, okay.
But I wasn't going to take the test in my Camaro.
Okay.
Because you have to do parallel parking.
Oh, yeah.
So I wasn't going to do it in that. I was going to use my dad's Chevette, which is a very small car.
Oh, okay.
It's like a fucking bumper car.
Yeah.
That can't go up hills. That's what a Chevette was. It's like a really small car with a big steering wheel.
I wanted one. That's kind of a chick car for you.
Not a chick car.
It kind of was.
I heard they were.
Yeah.
Whatever. It was my dad's company car. What do you want me to tell you? That's what I was going to take the test, and I was going to leave the Camaro with the T-tops at home.
Okay.
So like something happened with my dad's car, or there's something with the registration. Like when we got there, I couldn't take the test
with that car.
So we had to go back home. And I had to get the Camaro.
Oh, no.
And I had to take the test in the Camaro. And this is an 86 Camaro. And I hadn't done a lot of parallel parking with the Camaro.
Right.
You know, I hadn't really driven it that much. I was learning on my mom's car for the most part. And I was learning on my dad's car. I wasn't really learning on my car.
Right.
I couldn't wait to drive my car.
Sure.
Fucking Camaro.
Yeah.
But so I'm like, all right. So now I'm fucking nervous because I don't really know how to parallel park. It was a big car.
Right.
So now my instructor is like Steve Bix but fatter. he's like really short and really fat. Like you see the globe over there, Pip? You know, it's got its little stand.
Yes.
That's
hysterical.
That's the guy.
You like that big blue jumping ball?
Yes, like
the blue hopping up.
The hippity hop. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with 86 Camaros, they're very low to the ground.
Yes.
So this guy, he can't really sit in the car. He's just kind of got to get in position and let gravity do its thing.
He just kind of rolled in.
Like, yeah, he kind of like hover and then plop.
Oh, he like poured himself into the car.
He poured himself in. Like, this isn't going to be fun.
And like liquid, it filled every part of the wheel well and the underneath.
That's funny.
Yeah, pretty much. He stole my soul.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like, oh, this is going to fucking suck a bag of dicks.
I'm just picturing somebody pouring batter into a cupcake tin.
Yes. Somebody was pouring this cupcake into my car. So I'm like fucking nervous. Like, Jesus Christ. You know, and you know, this guy, because this guy is doing tests for the DMV. He can't afford a Camaro.
No.
So he's got this fucking 17-year-old with long hair pulls up in his fucking Camaro.
Yeah.
It's like, there's going to be no leeway.
Yeah, this is going to be a problem.
Fortunately, I did not have any issues with my automatic transmission, Joe.
What can I tell you? What can I say?
That's a very suspicious write-up you got.
I think that's a DMV driver for fuck-up.
Yeah.
But,
you know what? I turned out to be a good driver. I mean, I wind up, you know, I drive like almost 3,000 miles a month, you know, so it's like, it's not like I'm a shit driver.
Well, you couldn't make it here, so I'm not so sure.
Oh!
I'm not a U-boat commander.
Has anybody ever let you drive their U-boat before, Joe?
No, but I can tell in this weather.
So I actually did well on it. I actually did well. I passed everything, and it was fine.
Nice.
And then I get home, and the first time in the car, like, I go inside the house, and later on I'm going to go out. First time in the car, car's in front of my parents' stairs.
Yeah.
Turn on the ignition.
Right.
Hit the gas instead of the brake.
No!
Almost put the car through the fucking front door.
First minute. Bam!
Fortunately,
you know,
as I said,
poor use of an automatic transmission. You got poor use of the whole fucking car.
Well, like, no, I got to the break in time, and that was where it ended. But it was almost that was almost the end of it right there. That would have been. I mean, the bright side would have been a better story for this show. But
I passed. I did. Go ahead.
I never was at parallel parking. I was always a rough spot, still is. And I remember we would go play shows in the city with Rod Gut. And we had, you know, my mom's old station wagon, which after she passed away, I kept and registered. We called it Carosaurus. It was the 76 Plymouth wagon, and it was parallel parking in the city. And Joe Cumier had no patience with me. He's like, "All right, man, back up. All right, turn it in. Turn. All right, pull up. Get the fuck out of the car. Let me get in."
Oh. I was actually pretty good at parallel parking, and I had, like, you know, manual stick shift cars. I've always driven stick shift, but I was having this one time we had these parking spaces on the street, and it had snowed pretty heavily, and so each parking space was just the size of a car, and then there was a big wedges of snow on either side, so you had to really, really wedge yourself in there. And I just, for some reason this time, I just was not getting it, and I'm trying to rock into the spot, and then I had to pull back out and rock into the spot. I was having the worst time. I mean, I probably attempted four times. I finally got my car parked. I'm like, ah, you know, as a new driver, I get out of the car and I'm walking towards my apartment, and I see some of my girlfriend was going out with a bunch of guys. No, she was going out with one guy from high school, and a bunch of them were hanging out together waiting for him to come back to the car after dropping her off. And they all came out of the car and fell out laughing at me because they were watching some idiot try to parallel park, and then I get out of the car and they know me. They killed me.
Oh,
it was miserable.
No joke.
No.
My first car was a Chevy van, 65 Chevy van with the flat nose. So that's what I did, my first vehicle and stuff like that. My second car was a 73 Monte Carlo. The hoods on those cars were 8 feet long. I'm going from a vehicle that had no nose to one with an 8-foot hood. Trying to park that. I remember I would go to the store. I'd have Anthony Cumia with me. I'd have Ant with me. And he would go, "Where the fuck are you going?" I go, "I want to park over here. I don't have a problem getting the parking spot." "Really? So we got to walk half a mile because you don't know how to fucking park?"
Pretty much.
Yeah, and?
Yeah. Pip, why don't you do this next story?
Okay. Colombians. Yeah, that was easy for me to say. Columbus preschool teacher accused of encouraging kids to fight, posting videos online. A former preschool teacher in Columbus has been charged after police said she encouraged children to fight and shared videos on social media. According to police, 30-year-old Chevay Williams permitted 21 children under her supervision at the Playtime Preschool on Alum Creek Drive.
It's quite the stable of kids.
Yeah, 21.
Yeah, really?
it's like a team. It's like a tribe to fight with each other while on the playground on June 14th. None of the children were seriously injured during the incident. Police say Williams acted on her own accord. When the preschool was made aware of the incident, they took immediate action and including firing her. Williams has been charged with 21 counts of endangering children. She's scheduled to be arraigned on October 23rd. Yeah, it does very much surprise me, Evelyn Ware said. It really was a shock, honestly, to know this happened, Angeline Ulmer said. Ulmer's three children go to Playtime Preschool. Her 5-year-old daughter was in the classroom of 30-year-old Chevay Williams. I was a little blown away, Shia Porter said, knowing her character and how much she pumped goodness into my son, specifically who was in the classroom. I was just like, oh my goodness, like one bad decision caused it was so out of character. Parents say that the allegations are shocking, but it's also that it's Williams who is accused of them, saying that she had the reputation of being an incredible teacher. She was really, really a sweet person, Ulmer said. She was an awesome teacher. My daughter absolutely loved her. According to the daycare owner, Williams' mother has been fired from the daycare about a month ago. She's concerned the video might have been retaliation. Still, with 150 children enrolled, parents say Playtime Preschool has been a tremendous asset. Ware's third of 11 grandchildren will be enrolled in the daycare soon. She hopes it will be around for years to come. They're not scared to come to school, Ware said of her grandchildren. They don't have issues with kids here, none of that. And I would really be sad if this place got closed. The daycare owner says Williams has her CDA preschool credentials and 12 years teaching experience.
I don't know, should she be fired? She had a good track record. One bad decision.
Good, Joe.
I think she should be fired. I mean, what is she doing having kids fighting and filming it?
She didn't give them weapons.
I know, but it's still, look, if you said something wrong or you talked about a topic you were teaching about that rubbed people the wrong way, but you were trying to teach, you know, that, yeah, she shouldn't be fired. She should be reprimanded. But, I mean, the kids are fighting. Well, I mean, first of all, what is she thinking?
She's thinking this is going to make a fucking viral video.
Yeah, well, it did.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
Good job.
I mean, aren't they supposed to be teaching kids, like Joe started to say, like good values, like how to mediate trouble between each other,
yeah,
and share and be nice?
Over once you bring out the Fisher Price nunchucks.
Yeah, but she's teaching them to be baby Vikings. I mean, what is this?
No, there was no raping. There was just plundering.
No. I mean, just like attack. Like you said,
well, you know,
baby fight club.
Maybe she's tired of these snowflake millennials. Maybe, you know what? I'm going to help raise the next generations of Americans, and they're going to be badasses.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, but that's a decision. I don't know. That's a decision the parents would make. Look, you know, it's a different time, too. Look, my fifth grade teacher called my house and talked to my mother and told my mom that I was getting picked on and I need to start defending myself and fight back. You know, like I said, it was a different time back then, and my mom told me that, you know, if you get picked on, you need to fight back and blah, blah, blah. But he didn't pit me against the bully and film the whole fucking thing.
Well, I mean, but really, Joe, to that point, video cameras were not that accessible back then.
Yeah, I know, but let's say that they were.
I would have loved to have seen that footage.
Could you possibly get footage like that, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, your upbringing is much more interesting if we could go back to that periodically.
Oh, my,
just see little fat Joe just covering up like a little potato bug as a bigger 6-year-old is like beating his ass and shit.
But that was, you know, that back in the day when somebody bullied you, you fought back, you're trying to land them on their ass. So, and the teacher called and told me what was, you know, told my mom what was going on, and that's what needed to be done.
Yeah, but these kids suck, Joe. These kids suck. The first rule of Fight Club is don't talk about Fight Club. Somebody spoke, Joe. Somebody broke the rule.
I think, like the kid that wanted to drive the bus next.
Yeah, kids suck for doing illegal shit.
No, the first rule of Fight Club is don't film Fight Club.
All right, well, that's a different time period. Yeah, first don't film it, and then they'll talk about
right.
it.
Right.
Yeah.
On social media, like thousands of you.
I really don't understand how this becomes a viral video, because little kids can't fight that well.
Yeah, but it's just like the thing that here are these little children trying to beat the tar out of each other.
Yeah, but kids
it's
can't
shocking.
Fight. Kids can't fight. Like,
that's the entertainment.
Ah. It's not a pay-per-view event. It's a stupid video.
I get it.
Oh, it's
but...
like he plucked down $40 to watch it. I've got beer and potato chips, and he's sitting there going, what the fuck is this? It's bullshit. I laid out money for this.
Yeah, but it's all fun and games until somebody loses an eyeball. We all know this.
Well, if they would have let it continue, maybe.
More views.
Oh, that's going to be good clickbait right there. Ain't that
the
picture?
Tim, I got a question for you. Have you noticed that there are nights when Davin is on his Justice Warrior horse, and then there are nights that he's on his asshole horse?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I have many horses, Joe.
Asshole horse, ahoy!
Justice Warrior horse, Leslie, and then you just saddled up with the asshole horse.
Well, oh, yes, absolutely.
If we're being completely real, I'm just doing whatever the fucking show needs. if we're all sitting there and go, what a terrible woman. Oh, this is wrong. Then we don't have a fucking segment, stupid.
But actually, I do have to say that tonight his steed is well puckered.
Yeah.
I'm playing
the ball of the show.
Listen, there's a lot of times you play devil's advocate. Tonight I'm playing devil's advocate. You want to be a nice guy. Listen, you're even the shit we argued about last week, you're much nicer this week. So somebody's got to be an asshole. It'll be me. I don't give a shit.
Like I said, and it also those nights when you figure that we're going to have a big argument, you're planning on about 15 to 20 minutes. Joe, what do you think? I agree with you. I mean, you agree with me. We got to fight and argue
and stuff. Right. Anybody in their right mind would say the teacher and the bus driver were assholes. Yeah. But the story's not worth the covering, assholes. Somebody needs to defend their good name, and that shall be I. I'm just trying to put the other perspective, you know. That's all.
Yeah, gotcha.
I like that.
But then you never do it. Although sometimes you do.
Oh, sometimes I'm the asshole. Yeah. Absolutely.
Sometimes you are.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're too conservative for Joe and my progressive ways.
I know. You both look at me and go like, what?
Things you'll never hear on the show.
Yeah, right.
There's been things where you and I have taken a more liberal stance and Pip is being a hard ass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Those are rare moments, yes.
You never know what's going to happen on this show. But yeah, of course I think she's an asshole. But, you know, you do have
And now back to the story.
No, I mean, like, should she ruin her whole... Should her whole career be ruined for one really bad decision?
I think in this, like I say, I take everything case by case. I think this in this instance, it was a stupid thing to do, and it was being filmed. And you know, I'll give you an example. Let's say that she did a demonstration on how to defend yourself, and she had two kids, and maybe showing a couple of moves, not far, but like you know, showing a way to defend yourself. And it was done in class. It wasn't filmed. It was talked about. In that sense, I would say, no, let her keep her job because, you know, she's just trying to show a kid how to defend herself. Bullying has gotten out of hand, you know, and you know, the kids weren't actually hitting each other. It was just showing a move. You know, discipline her, maybe suspend her for 2 weeks and blah, 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 put it on a record. But this is watching them fight, you're filming it? No. I'm sorry, you can't teach them this anymore.
Well, I hope this woman continues. I expect we'll see her turning up as a nurse or something, or a teacher at a nursing home. I look forward to the follow-up video of Senior Citizen Fight Club.
I just want to know what her YouTube channel is so I can subscribe.
Well, you know, she might be suspended. Oh, well, bad woman. Now something we can argue about.
Oh, yeah.
Now Joe can be the asshole and I can be the social justice warrior.
Wait, Asshole Fight Club, we're ready.
Assholes pucker. Colin Kaepernick, one of Joe's favorite topics. 2 years after he first took a knee on the football field, Colin Kaepernick will be awarded one of Harvard University's highest honors. Since choosing to protest police brutality, the former 49ers quarterback has been shunned by the NFL, most recently criticized by President Trump for his role in a controversial Nike commercial. Yeah, that worked out well. Nike's never been more fucking profitable. Anyway, on October 11th, Kaepernick will receive the W.E.B. Du Bois Medal presented by Harvard's Hutchins Center for African and African American Research. Dubois was an or Dubois.
Dubois.
Dubois. You know this?
Yeah.
How do you know? Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, fuck you. Dubois was an African-American writer and activist, best known for his seminal book, The Souls of Black Folk. But excellent. It's also got an accompanying cookbook. Their souls are very delicious.
Oh, man.
What, no?
Okay. No.
Other Dubois medalists this year include comedian Dave Chappelle and philanthropist Kenneth Chenault. So, you know, is Kaepernick worthy?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like he's in pretty lofty company.
I'm not sure exactly what Chappelle did, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he did either.
I mean, if Chappelle's getting it, then I go, okay, why not Colin Kaepernick?
Right,
I mean,
right,
I guess because I guess Chappelle speaks out, so you could say, well, Kaepernick, although he's not speak out, he's given up his career.
Yeah, I mean, he really did put himself out on the line once, you know, it seemed obvious that people were not taking this well, and he continued because it's what he believed
in.
And
he persisted.
He persisted, yes. Joe?
I think if my whole thing with Kaepernick is that he's doing it, demonstrating during the national anthem. And as I said before, the national anthem to me is the 2 minutes. That song plays for, on the average, a minute and a half, 2 minutes. That is when we put everything aside and go, we have an imperfect past, but we do have the freedom to try to right the wrongs of the past. This is what the country's about. We all stop and we say, you know, and we stand for that song, and then we move on. If Kaepernick was doing this stuff off the football field, I just have a problem with him during it during the
night. But if he was doing it off the football field, if he was doing it off the football field, people probably would not be talking about it as much, and he probably wouldn't be getting this Harvard Award. I mean, because he did it on the football field in front of everybody is why 2 years later it's still a conversation.
Well, in my opinion, I don't agree with what he did. I don't agree doing it during, you know, the national anthem. I don't agree during a football game. I think that your opinion should be off of your job. But what, you know, but for what he's doing and what he believes in, he's totally entitled to that.
Right, but is he worthy of this award?
I agree with you. If he didn't do that, he wouldn't be noticed. It's another. In my opinion, it's another thing, almost with the whole Kavanaugh thing, where if you're trying to do something right, you're going about it the wrong way, you know. And that's my opinion on that. For Harvard to give him that award, that's fine. It's their decision. It's their group. You know, I mean, it's probably a group of African Americans, you know, recognizing what another African American did. That's fine. You know, if Nike's selling a whole bunch of shoes because of they have Kaepernick as a spokesperson. You know, there was a whole thing where there's a lot of anti-American sentiment, and they're looking at overseas sales and the millennials who would buy into that. Fine. I don't have a problem with that. Me personally, I just had a problem with him taking a knee during the national anthem.
Well, I do think this whole thing has made Kaepernick an icon to some.
Yeah.
I think the fact that he has not been back on the football field, even though clearly he's more talented than a lot of the quarterbacks running around the league right now, and, you know, people would say whatever they want about him. I know the football player he is, and I know what I've seen on some of the teams have. So I think it does make him an icon. Now, I don't know if his stature is going to diminish or grow over time. That's the interesting thing. I don't know where this goes from there.
Well, I mean, by the same token, I don't remember precisely what year it was, but there was the 1 year that the Olympic athletes who won
72
around that time raised the Black Power salute.
Yep.
We're still talking about that.
Exactly. I mean, this is
it brought attention to the movement.
Platform. Yeah. So I don't have a problem with what they did. But the question is, I don't know where he goes from this. I don't know if the legend of Colin Kaepernick grows.
Well, remains to be seen.
Well,
you know?
I understand that. But,
yeah, right, exactly. I agree with Pip.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, but that's not for interesting talk.
No. I mean,
here's where we speculate and draw shit out.
No.
I like how I have to give lessons on this shit during the middle of the show.
No, I wasn't done.
Okay.
I mean,
I'm not sure when women are done. You know, I just stop when I'm not. So.
Yeah, we need to talk about that.
I apologize. That's my weakness. That's
Hold
my
on.
Kryptonite.
Back to the diagram.
Yeah.
Right. But here's the pointer. Anyway, that
ooh, that pointer's much bigger than what I was using.
Really? Oh my. Nobody can feel LED lights, by the way.
That's why I just call it lead.
Yeah, lead.
Let me give
use
you
that
lead.
Lead pipe.
Give me my lead.
There you go. Right. You know, it remains to be seen if this particular incident in history is going to go on or not. I think that picking somebody who, in this moment in time, was doing something that was taking a knee as a simple gesture, but the meaning of it is so much greater, and obviously somebody who put his livelihood and the rest of his career on the line because of something that he believed that he feels is strong, is most important.
What I don't understand is, like, people on the right, and I don't know how Joe feels about this, to be honest, but people on the right will go, and then I'm going to get off this and take a break. People on the right go, he hasn't sacrificed anything. And
oh, my goodness.
I'm like, no, whether you agree with him or not, he has sacrificed his career.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you look at his statistics, his last season, he had 16 touchdowns and only 4 interceptions. That's really good. You look at the crap that is on NFL rosters that is not doing well. The guy sacrificed something. So whether you agree with him or not, the guy sacrificed something. Do you think he sacrificed something?
Me? I just think he made his own bet.
No, I understand that, but you think he lost something?
I would say, yeah. And teams wanted to hire him. I don't know how his stats were as a quarterback. You know,
well, I just told you. If I told you Eli Manning would throw 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, would you take that?
What was the question again? I'm sorry.
If I told you Eli Manning, you're a Giants fan. Eli Manning threw 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Would you sign up for that?
Yeah. Now, is that a season? Is that an average?
That was Colin Kaepernick's last season in the league. He had 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. You can't tell me there's not shit in the NFL that's not, come on. We've seen what's in the league.
Right. But let me ask you a question.
Yes.
If you're sitting, well, what about that? If the NFL or the team players are not having an issue with the players kneeling, then why wouldn't they if they have that attitude or that edict, why wouldn't they pick Kaepernick up?
Because he's suing.
It's not a big deal to them, so why not have Kaepernick as a QB?
Well, no, because it's the owners. The owners are not the same. The owners come from a different world than the players do. And actually, there's a lawsuit right now that's going forward where Kaepernick is suing the owners for collusion. And you got to remember, Kaepernick now is very divisive, and the majority of season ticket holders are Caucasian. That's just the reality. It's mostly white people. Now, the majority of players are African American. Now, that's not to say every African American agrees with Colin Kaepernick and what he's doing, and every Caucasian disagrees with what he's doing.
No, certainly not.
But from a financial standpoint, I can certainly understand why owners would not pick him up, and that's why he's suing. But you know, as a football fan, with what the Jets were going into the season with last year, I would have taken him on my team. And, you know, we had Michael Vick on my team. And Michael Vick, who actually paid his – actually did something wrong but did pay his debt to society.
Yeah.
I did not like Michael Vick on the team. I mean, there was a guy who killed dogs.
No.
I'll much take the guy who silently protests over the one who takes a life.
Yes.
Even if it's
dogs.
Yeah, exactly. That's just me. Why, like,
well,
what do you think?
You're on national TV in front of millions of people. You're not silently protesting.
Well, he wasn't flipping the bird. He was taking a knee.
Joe, they don't broadcast that. They only start broadcasting it once he was taking a knee. You never see the national anthem. The networks go to commercials. You only see the national anthem at the game.
But it did make the news.
Because it made the news.
That's not silently doing something. Now you're doing something that everybody picks up on. It's not silently.
Actually, and we've talked about this before, actually it was a veteran who told him to kneel. Because before, he was sitting on the bench, and a veteran reached out to him and said, listen, this is disrespectful for you to be sitting. What we do, you know, if we're mourning something, we take a knee. So it was actually a veteran who told him to do it. So that's why he started kneeling. So he actually did consult with somebody. He's not trying to be disrespectful to the country. He's mourning what the country is doing. Yes.
Well, my opinion is when you're doing it during the national anthem, you're disrespecting the country. My two cents. you know, and like I said, we could, you know, till the cows come home, we could argue.
Well, you're not alone in that opinion, Joe.
I think this guy's going to be written in the history books. I think this is gonna be a footnote in history, you know, like in classes like African American studies.
Sure.
I think, like, you know, it might not be written like mainstream history classes, like in high school, that stuff, but like in college classes when you take African American studies, when they break things down to certain cultures.
Yeah, I know, which I find irritating.
I mean, I took Islam. You know, you just
I find it irritating because it should be history. Of all the people.
No, but that's a different class. That's a different class.
I know
There's women's studies, which I guess is how you find your G-spot. I don't know. I never took the class. Never seemed really interesting to me.
No. I mean, this is another topic. I'm just saying that because, you know, white Eurocentric history has been taught for so many years, I'm glad that people are able to learn about their own culture or about the history of women who are left out of history books a lot.
As well you should be. George, you're paddling on the Potomac wrong. You're doing it wrong, George. You're going to get stuck on a rock. Let me be the captain, George. Nobody needed Martha on the fucking boat, all right? George had it under control. That's why we don't write about you dames.
Go sit in the...
I'm told you're not rowing hard enough. The guys are crowding you. Shut up.
Go sit in the back and sew a flag. Don't you see what she's doing?
That's Betsy.
I know.
See, that's why you had to be left out.
Yeah, I know.
It's cold in Valley Forge. Can't we go to Florida? No,
Ponce de Leon goes to Florida. Why can't we go to Florida?
Because I'm a father of our country.
Father of our country, but you can't give me a child, can you, George?
Yeah. Look at you standing up in the boat, you maroon.
What, are you hanging out with Benjamin, just fucking everybody you want? You can't be the father of this family, but the father of the country? Are you sleeping all over the place? How come you're always sleeping and there's plaques, George? I've had enough. I want off this canoe.
And don't be bringing home that syphilis to me, young man.
And the wooden teeth. You think that's pleasurable?
And let me tell you something. Franklin, with the ladies' man he was, man, if the Me Too movement was going on back then, holy smoke, he'd tell him to take his kite and go to hell.